I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this: talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hey everyone, welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I'm Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we're talking about the Battle of Gettysburg.
So grab your open field.
And let's get civical. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Well, welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I am Lizzie Stewart.
And I'm Arden Walentowski.
And today, I have nothing. I have nothing to say.
I feel you struggling. I likewise. I feel like we probably should have reversed ordered on this recording day and done the other one first, because it's so fun.
I think this is as fun as it gets. Sort of the deadliest battle in American history.
This is true.
Get a hey-o?
Hey-o. Yes. How are you feeling after your trip?
Oh, my trip? Yes. Mm-hmm. I was on the West Coast, you guys, and let me tell you, they're wild, and they have bled me dry mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, financially, but I had a great time.
That's awesome. Listen, yes. When you have no water,
what can you expect?
What can you expect?
Severe dehydration. Shout out to water. Shout out to the crucial element,
mm-hmm.
The reason we all live, the reason we all draw breath. It's water.
It's water.
It's H2O.
Oh, my God. I'm glad you had a good time. I'm also glad you're back.
And you're about to depart on a journey as well. We're hitting the season of where in the world is Arden?
It's coming upon us. That will start to happen in about a little less than a month from now. We are going on another road trip, and so we will keep you posted. Hopefully, we will not be recording as many on the road, just because we're going to some more deserty places, and
yeah,
God forbid there not be Wi-Fi.
I mean, Wi-Fi has really changed our game. Like, it would bring me to my knees to lose it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what I would do. Read?
Don't stop. Literally, I'm upset that you said that.
There are two books on my nightstand. They have been there since I moved into this apartment a year ago.
Well, they're coasters.
They're coasters. Ask me how many times I've opened them. I think once.
Okay, but they look great. You know what? All you need is one shot, one opportunity.
That's it. They are a good decorative sign of intelligence that I have them on my nightstand. Coaster.
Nightstand coaster. Shout out to all the books that are coasters.
That's right. And you know what? They hold a cup of coffee, glass of wine.
Water.
Oh. Equally as well.
Third on the list. Mm-hmm. Third on the liquids, which we love.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. And the transition to our episode topic is coming to me henceforth.
Oh.
Well, in order, there was a lot of journeying to get to this battle. What a journey it was. What a journey it's been. I'm grasping at straws.
You're doing very well.
Thank you so much. But today, obviously, and it's so obvious based on the conversation we've already had, we are talking about the Battle of Gettysburg, the infamous Battle of Gettysburg.
I don't know how you could think we would be talking about anything else.
Truly, it was so obvious. I kept dropping hints along the way. The breadcrumbs, Hansel.
The Union soldiers coasted to victory, which is A, not true, and B, a poor use of that word.
Yes. Both of those things are correct.
Not true. They did not coast to victory. It was a hard-fought battle.
Yeah. Rough.
Lots of people died.
Really, really bad. Really, really bad.
Really, really bad.
And the reason why we're talking about it is because we are, and it makes me want to actually throw up, we are about to be in July. This episode will come out right before the turn to July. And the Battle of Gettysburg, which I didn't know. To me, Gettysburg was always in, like, November, right? Like, it was always, cold. It's always cold and it's wet.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason in my mind, it's been cold, wet, rainy.
Yeah.
Whatever. It was literally the dead of summer.
Mm-hmm.
Quite simply, July 1. That they did this.
And they did it right.
It was hot.
Right. It was hot. They did it right before the July 4th anniversary.
Yikes.
Yeah. It was a bloody, bloody battle that changed the course of American history. I my own humble opinion, for the better.
Yeah.
Because it really turned around the war for the Union.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about how we got to the war, why we had the war, the 3 days of the battle, and the aftermath of the Battle of Gettysburg, including a little bit of the Gettysburg Address,
which we've done a whole episode on.
We have. And now we're going to talk about the battle herself.
Hell yeah.
But before we do that, let's do sources. So, some stuff coming from Nat Geo Kids, because...
Hell yeah. It's going to be a good day when you bring a kid's website to my table. It really... I love it. I love them. I love children in a not creepy way. Mm-hmm. But I love when we educate children on things like big casualties.
Big casualties. And this specifically I used for the why did we have this battle...
Sure.
And you'll notice there's like a down tick in. It's basically like there were good people and bad people.
Sure.
And some of the bad people wanted to keep holding on to the people that they own. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a little bit of explainer there. And then history.com, because
obviously.
And then because we're talking about a battlefield and a battle, battlefields.org.
Another site that I absolutely love. I love. Like, we've been to her many a time. Anytime there's a battle, battlesfield.org has our back.
Yes.
In the same way that I think Oyez has our back.
I was just going to say, it is the equivalent of Oyez for battlefields and battles.
It takes a village. It takes a village to raise these two podcast guests. Let me tell you. Let me tell you.
That and strong cups of coffee.
Exactly. Okay, let's jump in, shall we? Let's just swan dive right into what led to this battle. Let's go, Nat Geo kids. Here we go. The Battle of Gettysburg, fought from July 1st to July 3rd, 1863, is considered the most important engagement of the American Civil War. I love when they call battles engagements. Engagement. You know, make them sound a little like, make them sound a little sexy. We engaged on the battlefield. We liaised on the battlefield. And it's like,
we had a correspondence.
No, you slaughtered. They were slaughtered on the battlefield.
So many people.
It was hot. It was bloody. You were gross. You were smelly. No, thank you. Not an engagement. The Civil War started in the United States 2 years earlier in 1861. The war was mostly over the issue of slavery. At the time, many white citizens owned black enslaved people. Then President Abraham Lincoln was against slavery and wanted to end it. And many people in the northern states agreed with him. However, most people in the southern states relied on these enslaved people to farm their crops and did not want slavery to end. So there's Nat Geo kids for you.
Yeah.
Putting it in a nutshell.
Explaining it like we're children. Because
explaining it like we're children. It's, I mean, it like it's truly. It's just true. Like, break it down.
Yep.
Break it down for me. That year, 1861, 11 southern states broke away from the United States, which was also known as the Union. The southern states formed what would be called the Confederate States of America. And entering this country into civil war. So we have the Confederacy, which are 11 states at 1861. And the Union.
And the Union.
Confederacy, not a part of the United States.
No, it was the point, actually, that they were not.
It was actually the point. It was actually the whole thing.
Except they kept most of the name.
Well, of course they did.
They're not very original.
Have we celebrated this country for its originality on this show? Ever?
When we talked about the Revolutionary War.
That's true. There was some fun there. There was some fun there. But not so much fun here, I feel.
No, not here. Not, I mean,
this is way bigger of a bummer.
Yeah.
For the next 2 years, battles were fought. Both sides experienced multiple wins and losses. But by 1863, the Confederate Army was in high spirits. The Confederate Army was doing great.
They were
doing very well. They were making a lot of gains in a way that was like, yikes McGikes. I don't know if we're going to pull this off.
I don't know how this is going to go. We may be losing the South.
We may be losing the whole South. In May of 1863, Robert E. Lee's Confederate Army of Northern Virginia had scored a smashing victory over the Army of the Potomac at Chancellorsville. Chancellorsville?
Chancellorsville. Because it's like Chandler on
Chandler. Chancellorsville.
Chancellorsville.
Brimming with confidence, Lee decided to go on the offensive and invade the North for a second time, the first being at Anaheim the previous fall. Nope, Antietam, not Anaheim. The first being at Antietam the previous fall.
I think you need a shot.
The first being at Disneyland. You guys, you know me.
Oh my God.
You know me. This is why you come to this podcast. Because yes, you're being educated, but you're also listening to real people talk about real things. Anybody who says they can read aloud great is a liar. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has those days. This is staying in this episode because I'm not ashamed of who I am. How about that?
Oh my God. The first being in. Oh my God. I mean, you've seen those memes that are like, was I the only one in second grade who, when we started to do read aloud, I would count how many people were ahead of me to read so I could practice reading my paragraph in sure, my head.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Everybody, I think everybody did that. And that's why when the teacher then asked, what's the story about? Everybody was like, because they were only heard, they only know their one paragraph and not even that well because they're just focusing on the individual sound. So they don't sound like an idiot.
You would think, you would just think that over time I would get better. But it seems as though I just continue to get worse. But that's okay. That's okay. So let me summarize what I just misread. So Robert E. Lee is banging. He is collecting W's left and right. He got a win in Chancellorsville.
Yeah.
And then he went north for the second time because he had already been there when he took Antietam. He went north again. So he's like feeling himself. He's going boom, oh, bang, yeah, boom, wapada, shapada, hamada,
ding dong. He's getting down and dirty.
It's getting down and dirty. In addition to bringing the conflict out of Virginia and diverting northern troops from Vicksburg, where the Confederates were under siege, Lee hoped to gain recognition of the Confederacy by Britain and France and strengthen the cause of northern, quote, copperheads who favored peace. Copperheads?
I know. I had never heard that before.
Me
I think
either.
I'm like snake, like you're a snake. From the north, who like
or is it copper as in the currency? Were we dealing in copper at this point?
You know, I don't know.
That's okay.
It could be both. Maybe it's both.
Why not both?
Yes, copperheads. If you know why copperheads,
give us a shout.
Give us a shout.
On the Union side, so that's the Confederacy. On the Union side, President Abraham Lincoln had lost confidence in the Army of the Potomac's commander, Joseph Hooker, who seemed reluctant to confront Lee's army after the defeat at Chancellorsville. On June 28th, Lincoln named Major General George Gordon Meade to succeed Hooker. Meade immediately ordered the pursuit of Lee's army of 75,000, which by then had crossed the Potomac River into Maryland and marched on into southern Pennsylvania. So Lincoln's like, bad. Go Hello. Get him. Off you go. And what's his face is like, Joseph is like, I don't want to go. You don't want to go? Well, then that you're replaced.
If you're not willing to go defend the Union, then guess what? You get replaced as the leader that's supposed to be defending the Union because you're not doing your job.
Right. It's one thing, I think, to kind of hold back on, like, invading them, right? And be like, oh, is this the most strategic move to kind of, like, provoke something?
Right.
But Robert E. Lee's already arrived. We can't just let him come in.
He's here. He's at our doorstep. We have to...
He's knock, knock, knocking.
Right. Push him off the doorstep.
Yeah. And General George Meade is like, let me at him.
Mm-hmm.
Let me at him.
Here I come.
We're going to take a quick break for a little word from our sponsors.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
So let's talk about what happened at the battle.
Death. That's all I know. All I know is everybody died.
That's the end of the episode. Everybody died.
Isn't that insane that that's literally like what we're taught? Mm-hmm. In like the Spark Notes version of this battle is that so many people died. That's the log line, you know, of this battle. That every you ask anybody, you know, what do you remember about being taught about the Battle of Gettysburg? They're gonna say it's the deadliest battle in America.
Battle and one of the best speeches.
I would argue. Isn't that post-battle?
That is post-battle. Yeah. After all of the people who we talked about dying have died.
Died.
When they made it a cemetery. So what happened during the battle? Elements of the two armies initially collided at Gettysburg on July 1st, 1863, as Lee urgently concentrated his forces there, his objective being to engage the Union Army and destroy it.
Sure.
Low ridges to the northwest of town were defended initially by a Union cavalry division under Brigadier General John Buford and soon reinforced with two corps of Union infantry, so he's got more troops coming to him. However, two large Confederate corps assaulted them from the northwest and north, collapsing the hastily developed Union lines, sending the defenders retreating through the streets of town to the hills just to the south.
Whew. So not a good start.
Not a good start
for the Union. No. I love that Robert E. Lee was like, my main objective here is to destroy the Union Army.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Like, just looking at his soldiers being like, you have one job.
Yeah.
Destroy. And yeah, he almost got away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling kids.
Seeking to press his advantage before more Union troops could arrive, Lee gave discretionary orders to attack Cemetery Hill to Richard Ewell, who had taken command of the Army of Northern Virginia's Second Corps after Lee's most trusted general, Thomas J. Stonewall Jackson, was mortally wounded at Chancellorsville. So a great, great battle for the Confederates, but not great because they lost Stonewall Jackson at Chancellorsville. Ewell declined to order the attack, considering the federal position was too strong. His reticence would earn him many unfavorable comparisons to the Great Stonewall. So, at least there's generals on both sides who are like, I don't really want to go.
I don't want to do this. And you know what? I get it.
Yeah.
I also don't want to do this. I also do not want to do the Battle of Gettysburg, quite frankly. No. So, on the one hand, it is your job as a general to, like, do battle if battle is in front of you.
It's in the job description. On the other hand, assign troops, amass supplies, do battle.
Do battle. Yes.
Do battle.
Do it right now. But on the other hand, I can also understand that not all people make good generals. I don't think I would make a good general.
I would not make a good general. I would probably be fairly, like, I could do the competitive thing. It would be the killing part that I'm just like, can we just have an aggressive conversation? I don't really.
Yeah.
Can we just yell a lot and then decide we're all pretty good people and
we're all good people. We're all in this together.
We're all humans on this little rock floating in the universe. Like, let's just come together. At Anaheim.
Let's all go to Disneyland. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So by dusk on that first day, July 1st, a Union Corp under Winfield Scott Hancock had arrived and extended the defense along Cemetery Ridge to the hill known as Little Round Top. How descriptive. Love.
Sure. What does it look like to you? Little Round Top.
The Little Round Hill. Little Round Hill. And then next to it is Big Square.
Big Square.
Big Square.
Small circular tree.
Three more Union Corps arrived overnight to strengthen the defenses. So the Union troops are coming. They're slow in coming, but they're coming, and we're setting up a defense.
We're revving up. Yes. So July 2nd, day 2, act 2, scene 1. As the next day dawned, the Union Army had established strong positions from Culp's Hill to Cemetery Ridge. Lee assessed his enemy's position and determined, against the advice of his defensively minded second in command, James Longstreet, to attack the Federals where they stood. He ordered Longstreet to lead an attack on the Union left while Ewell's corps would strike the right near Culp's Hill. Though his orders were to attack as early in the day as possible, Longstreet did not get his men into position until 4 p.m. What were you doing?
He took a lunch and a smoke break.
I mean, good God. Like 9, I get. But 4? That's not...
4 p.m. As early in the day as possible. Let's just say I'll see you at 4.
I need to have a little bit of a lie-in.
I need a siesta.
Late afternoon work for you?
Mm-hmm. Good gracious. Margarita.
So he didn't get his men into position until 4 p.m. when they opened fire on the Union Corps commanded by Daniel Sickles. Over the next several hours, bloody fighting raged along Sickles' line, which stretched from the nest of boulders known as Devil's Den into a peach orchard, as well as a nearby wheat field and on the slopes of Little Round Top.
Yeah. So there's fighting.
They're fighting. It's chaos. Thanks to the fierce fighting by one main regiment, the Federals were able to hold Little Round Top, but lost the orchard. That's sad that we lost the orchard.
They lost the orchard.
Also, shout out to Maine. Shout out to this Maine regiment who just kept it together.
They do not get enough credit for their work in this battle.
I mean, my God.
Yeah.
So they were able to hold Little Round Top, but lost the orchard, field, and Devil's Den. Sickles himself was seriously wounded. Ewell's men had advanced on the Union forces at Culp's Hill and East Cemetery Hill in coordination with Longstreet's 4 p.m. attack, but Union forces had stalled their attack by dusk. I just feel like the Union had all day to kind of see what was going on. This can't have been a surprise attack. You know, it's not like it was in the cover of darkness. It's at 4 o'clock.
It's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
God, it's cocktail hour.
It's the summer. Oh my God. I'm just like standing there being like, are those Confederate people ever gonna move? Or we're just standing here? Should we maybe go over there?
I really thought they would have done this earlier.
See what their deal is.
Both armies suffered extremely heavy losses on July 2nd, with 9,000 or more casualties on each side. The combined casualty total from 2 days of fighting came to nearly 35,000, the largest two-day toll of the war.
Oh.
So this is 2 days. We've lost 35,000 soldiers. Like, deceased.
Mm-hmm. And we still have a day to go.
And we haven't finished. And there's no conclusion to this battle yet.
Mm-mm. I just can't even, like, it's a sight that I think would it just be so shocking to walk away from a battlefield, any battlefield, not just this one, but just see, like, a sea of dead bodies.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a lot of dead.
So sad. So then early on the morning of July 3rd, Union forces of the 12th Army Corps pushed back a Confederate threat against Culp's Hill after a 7-hour firefight and regained their strong position. Believing his men had been on the brink of victory the day before, Lee decided to send 3 divisions, preceded by an artillery barrage, against the Union center on Cemetery Ridge. So he thinks he's got, like, a good... He thinks this is going his way.
Sure. I mean, at this point, you really gotta just go in with confidence.
Yeah. Fewer than 15,000 troops, led by a division under George Pickett, would be tasked with marching some 3/4 of a mile across open fields to attack dug-in Union infantry positions. Seems not a good idea. Like, this is where they started making incorrect plays, because you're marching across an open field. Hello, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom.
At any point, if you, as a general, say, let's march across open field.
No.
We really gotta get a new plan.
Mm-hmm.
I beg of any war historian, when has marching across open field been successful? We didn't have any other plan?
No plan.
It's like, okay, I give up. Just go, just head towards them.
How about just walk it.
Just walk.
Just march. Just march it. Oof. It's a walk with gusto. March.
Yeah.
So despite Longstreet's protests, Lee was determined, and the attack, later known as Pickett's Charge, went forward around 3 p.m. Why are they doing this, like, in the height of heat? Like, it's been warm all day.
Maybe because it is so, well, no, I guess it's so hot around the late afternoon. You're right. I don't know.
Yeah. I just feel this in the dark time. In the dark time.
The dark time, you know? You know that thing called the dark time?
Oh, my God. We so need vacations.
Oh, my God.
You're in Disney World and I'm in the dark time.
I know. You're in the dark times. Enjoy it there.
Oh, my God. Dark times. So Pickett's Charge went forward at 3 p.m. after an artillery bombardment by some 150 Confederate guns. The Union infantry opened fire on the advancing rebels from behind stone walls while regiments from Vermont, New York, and Ohio hit both of the enemy's flanks. Yes, this is correct. They're hiding behind things.
Yeah.
They're correct. Hiding behind things, shooting the people that are just openly walking towards them. Hey, hi, hello. No. Caught from all sides, barely half of the Confederates survived, and Pickett's division lost 2/3 of its men. I mean, that is sad.
Yeah.
As the survivors stumbled back to their opening positions, Lee and Longstreet scrambled to shore up their defensive line after the failed assault. I just feel like this was a very incorrect military decision. We don't march towards people hiding with guns. No.
You really don't. It's just, you just think it would be better. That it would be better.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, at some points they did show military acumen.
Right.
And then it's just, I guess in the heat of the moment, literally, you know, you got to make some tough calls. And, man, this is the price when the calls are wrong. There's some steep consequences to bad military calls.
Yep.
So let's talk about the aftermath. Those were 3 days of fighting. Let's talk about what happened after it was over. As many as 51,000 soldiers from both armies were killed, wounded, captured, or missing in the 3-day battle. The carnage was overwhelming, but the Union victory buoyed Lincoln's hopes of ending the war. I mean, yeah, it's kind of one of those where it's like, obviously it's a Union victory.
Right.
But it's also at the same time, like, a victory for neither, because it's just like,
it's so much horrific. Yeah. There's so many people who died, and it wasn't like, and really it was a grave mistake on the part of the Confederates to send these people. Like, if they hadn't done that, they would have many more soldiers with whom they could then later plan another attack.
Yeah.
And probably a better one. But yet they marched into this field towards the Union soldiers who had guns drawn, and they wiped out 2/3 of this regiment. Like,
yeah. With Lee running south, Lincoln expected that Meade would intercept the Confederate troops and force their surrender. However, Meade had no such plan. Oh my God, these generals are just not in sync with Lincoln.
I know, they're not really forceful.
Even as Lee's escape was hampered by the flooding on the Potomac, Meade did not pursue them. When Lincoln learned of this missed opportunity on July 12th, he lamented, quote, "We had only to stretch forth our hands, and they were ours." I'm with Lincoln. I'm like, yeah, you need I'm to with tell Lincoln. Me that he is completely decimated,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't go after him at all? We didn't even try?
We didn't even try.
Okay, curious. Months later, in November of 1863, a portion of the Gettysburg battlefield became a final resting place for the Union dead. President Lincoln used the dedication ceremony at the Gettysburg Soldiers National Cemetery to honor the fallen and reassert the purpose of the war in his historic Gettysburg Address, which we do have a full episode on, but here's an excerpt. Quote, "The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced." End quote.
Mm-hmm.
His 272-word speech ended with the following, quote, "From those honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth." And I think we said it on the Gettysburg Address episode, but good speech.
It's a good speech.
It's like,
definitely a good speech.
I have a lot to say about speeches and a lot of the text that you forced me to read on this podcast.
I know.
Because it's normally bad.
It's a lot of run-on sentences and lingering things. And he was a great orator, I believe.
I think the difference is that it is written, and this is obvious because this is what it was intended to be, but it's written as something that is meant to be read out loud.
Right.
And I think that's the difference when, like, we have to read out loud ye old documents that were not meant to be read out loud.
They're meant to, like, put everything down on paper.
Yeah. But this, I'm like, I get the cadence. There's punctuation for the breaths. It's like, I understand.
Also, because it's why. So short. Yeah. It's so economical. Like, there's no word in there that you're like, okay, we could have cut this by 2 pages. You know, it's not like when you go to a show and you're like, I feel like we could have cut out 20 minutes from act two and still gotten where we were and been okay.
Easily. This could have been 90 minutes.
This could have been 90 minutes. No intermish.
Oh, could have been 90 minutes. No intermish. The yummy, yummiest of yummies.
Yeah.
And then, not in the notes, but if you don't know, other aftermath is that the Union eventually won the Civil War.
I did forget to put that in. I'm glad you mentioned. And that's fine. I'm glad that's you mentioned. Fine.
It's what, there are a couple of things that I feel like we don't need to say. One of them being
the Union won the war.
If we're not coming to the table with that, then we gotta go back to Nat Geo Kids. You know what I mean? And like really start from the beginning.
Yep.
But yeah, I would not have wanted to have been in Gettysburg at any point.
Nope.
In the 18 Hamanishas?
Nope.
I would go now.
Sure.
Not in the summer. Maybe in the fall, but like.
In the fall. Early spring.
Yikes, McGikes. Yeah. Early spring would be fine. But yeah, we'll have to put it on our infamous, ever-growing list of places that we do have to go to. Gotta go check out the Gettysburg.
Oh my God. I know.
Gotta see what was up. I bet it'd be weird.
I bet it would be weird. I feel like I've driven, where is, hold on. I want to look up where Gettysburg is because I feel like I've driven past it.
Name its nearest city.
I mean, it is its nearest city. I mean, it's like, it's, you know, maybe, I don't even know how far that is. Maybe like an hour from Baltimore. Probably an hour from Harrisburg, maybe.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, Hershey.
Hershey. There we go.
Yep.
There we go. Everybody go take a looky at Gettysburg. Go visit. Go pay your respects. And we will too. We will too. With that said, that is the end of the Battle of Gettysburg episode. And if you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. As always, please rate, review, and subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.